Good morning. Okay, so this is day two or session two of the introduction to Romans. That would be even not true. It is just an overview of Romans. There was this great magician and hypnotist long ago, sometime, and he said, I am going to swallow this temple. And he had a lot of audience, and he actually performed his wonderful work and swallowed it, and people clapped. But there was a guy who was a little higher on another building said, no, you are just thinking he swallowed it. He did not swallow it. So just like that, if somebody says, I'm going to give you a full introduction of Romans today, just don't believe it. That is not happening. So it is just make believe. So we are now, I gave you a little overview of the letter of Paul, or the pure gospel, or whatever the title we want to call it. And one thing I emphasized, and somebody came and said that was just a good background review, so we understand. So was how church was kind of, and even kingdoms were ruled by the Catholic Church with their own rules and regulations that actually distorted the whole Christianity. And one example I gave was the indulgences that they offered for a price for those who are dead, or those who are even living, they can be taken out. So we have, by the Reformation, a little more truth that revealed to us, even though it was in the scripture, that is more made more evident, like the rapture came to our thoughts and our revelation, in the sense that we studied only from the 1800s, so with J.N. Darby. So that is also, you know, so Reform theology came through, and most of the Reform theology stands are, we can see the roots in the book of Romans. So Romans is, I said, organized book because it introduces the problem of sin, and then the great salvation, and then the sanctification, and then the restoration of Jews, and also service. So it is a well-contained book, complete book. So we can think of many people divide the book, such as sin, and most Bibles, if you have a study Bible, you have it says as sin or condemnation, which is from one chapter, 1:18 to 3:20. Or salvation and or justification, sanctification, nobody really argues with that portion, 6 through 8. Sovereignty or restoration from 9 to 11, and service and application. So we can see there's a lot to be said about Romans that we need to study. And my humble request was that we would take this up as something to study for a whatever weeks, how many weeks we want to. But it is important that all of us have a good understanding of Romans to get into our theology, so we grasp the true breadth and width and height and of the not only the gospel, the love of God, how good he had been to us. So I am not moving. Okay, sin is the first thing we said, and I will not have too many slides, mostly I'll be just talking today. And second one is salvation, then we have sanctification, or then sovereign or restoration of Israel, and then application or service. So that's how the book is mostly divided by many people. Many may have divided it otherwise. And the theme, we start with, we mentioned it last time, is 16 and 17. So we will not be able to do too much with the theme today, but for it is well defined, so I wanted to show it out how it is. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. And so he comes and says the definition of the gospel. For it is the power of God. It's not coming up. Oh, guys, you can control it. Just go to the next one, click. For it is the power of God and for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jews and also the Greek. And I mentioned last time also, for our understanding, whenever we see, there is like 5 or 6 times in Romans, we see the Greek, the Jew first, and also to the Greek, just to explain that, you know, mostly the orientation of the gospel written by Paul here was to, the Jews also got confused about where they stand, how it is done. So they were given a little preference. You were given the oracles of God. Actually, he says that in one of the chapters. So, and move on, Lakshman. Yeah. As it is written, the righteous or the right just shall live by faith. So that is a wonderful theme. So here, I want to take a little deviation from what I thought I would be doing to just let people know and us know that we know the definition there, but this is the detail. This is the detail of the gospel. And we have a wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, starts with the gospel, ends with our life in Christ. So here we see the gospel I preached. So Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 17 or so, actually lays this out again. I preached, you received, in which you stand, you are being saved. That's a life, is a continuous salvation, sanctification process, and you hold fast. You shall never let go of. But what actually happens with the reception of the gospel is in verse 3 down. It says, Christ died for our sins. Then he was buried. Then he raised up. And next clip, it should say, he lives. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's useless. So that argument, and then almost at the end of, I don't think you have one more. Okay. So it says, what is coming when Christ returns? This is the whole gospel of Paul. And this is actually the whole gospel. When sometimes I want to say that again and again, because when we tell our children, you want to go to heaven, and they raise their hand. I agree with Paul Washer, who says, many of them, unfortunately, you are sending them to hell by that false prophesying of faith. Not that children will not come to faith, but he says, one time he was preaching in a large stadium of 5,000 students, and he said, many of you will go to hell because you don't really know what the gospel is at all, what it means. Many of you may have raised your hands. So gospel needs to be understood on the basis that I am a sinner. And that's where Paul goes in the first 3 chapters. All are sinners. If I don't understand I am a sinner, there is no point in saying I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no turning in my life from my sins. So that is a serious matter as we teach in our Sunday schools and in whenever opportunity we have. You are a sinner, and it's hard to tell people. We are like Chase, or I think it's Jace. Most of you know Robbie and Irene. Some of you know from the Northeast know Robbie and Irene. Okay, that's Gigi, who is now went with an accident, or her daughter and son-in-law. So Chase is only 2.5 or 3 years. He went to Sunday school and came back and sitting at home, and he said, Daddy, you need Jesus. Even Robbie is a very mellow guy. He's a very sweet guy, in fact. And he said, yes, I need Jesus. He said, Mommy, you need Jesus. And she said, yeah, I do. Oh, Nora, you need Jesus. That's his older sister. And yeah, she needs Jesus. Eva, you need Jesus. Yeah, she needs Jesus. And then does it end? Then Robbie asked, how about you, Chase? I didn't do anything wrong. So that is the chapter 2. That is chapter 2 of Romans. Judgments, self-righteousness. That's it. So most of us sit in our holy thinking, I didn't do anything wrong. Maybe not us, but most human beings. I have met with many people who are from different religions. I have talked to them. I live a good life. I live a very, you know, I have not purposely hurt anyone. I go to my temple, I go to my mosque, I go to my church, I attend the mass every week. So this is the perception that Paul is trying to break through the first three chapters. So Romans, can you go to the next? So sin is dealt, and that's all we will cover today. And that is even too much. I have just summarized some of the key verses. This may not be the key verses for your thinking, but I wanted to raise up here saying, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For although they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and by their foolish hearts were darkened. And then chapter 3 goes on to say, verse 9, all are sinners, verse 20 continues with, 10 continues affirming, not only all, and then goes to, for we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is the affirmation of the truth. We don't need to go there. So the sin case, we can shut down the display. So the case, sin against humanity, the case against humanity is that all ungodliness and unrighteousness. You know where it started? It started, if you read verse 20 of Romans, please open your book to chapter 1. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. Are we to understand there is a God from nature? Absolutely so. Absolutely so. Scripture, without any doubt, declares that. Are we to understand there is a God because of the creation? Absolutely so. That is Romans chapter 1, verse 20. So they, in their foolish thinking, kept on. They went away. They did not honor God who created the whole world. And then their mind was darkened. Although they knew God, verse 21, they did not honor him. They became futile. See, when people reject God, that's what happens. That's the first thing that happens. They think they are wise. They become foolish in their heart. And their work becomes futile in their thinking. And they started creating their own gods. Next verse. They started creating their own gods. Again, good majority of the world today have created their own gods. When you say there is no God, you have become God yourself. A good majority I was speaking somewhere 3-4 weeks ago, and I said the problem with the humanity is accepting I am a created being. I tell you, think deep in your heart that accepting that I am a created being is the biggest trouble of humanity. That how can I be created thing, and how I want to accept somebody as my Lord? It is the most difficult thing. Because until you become humble enough to come to the cross and say, I know I cannot do myself all I want to do. I am seeing problems in my life. I am not the creature I want to be. Like we were reading from Romans 7 today. You know, the problem with the humanity is becoming ourselves God. I need better. I can do better. I have better paths. So I was in Malawi. And one guy, I was teaching actually from here much detailed, and somebody asked me, so how do I know what is sin and what is right and what is not? So I gave him, which may not be right, you can think of many other things, I gave him a simple solution to that. I said, for the truth that you know a basic truth, and your conscience is always telling you what is right and wrong. So when you want to do something, if you cannot say, thank you, Lord, for this, So how many of us can say thank you with our good conscience? Thank you, Lord, for this evil I am going to do. We can't. So I said, this is the criteria. If you are in doubt, say thank you, Lord, and see if you can do that. Thank you, Lord, that I could do this. Thank you, Lord, that I could say this. Thank you, Lord, that I could write this. When you are challenged with that, try it as an experiment now in our lives. We can. When we are met with decision making, and when we say, should I do this or not? If it comes straight into your mind, I can do this, giving thanks to the Lord, then the problem is over. So I should not be preaching, I should keep going. So the erosion of thinking happened, and so what happens in chapter verse 24, verse 26, am I right? Verse 28 says, God gave them up. First, they started making gods of their own. Then their minds, I don't have time to read all of it, they gave themselves to immorality. First downfall. When they reject God, they felt themselves down to immorality and God gave them up. Then they gave them up. They involved the immorality led to lesbianism and homosexuality. Very explicitly written. Then God gave them up. Because if you don't come to God and reject Him completely, He will give you up. Then what happened? They completely rejected God, went away from everything, and they started becoming wicked and evil people. 18 or 19, whatever number of wickedness is listed there. Amazing, isn't it? And that some of it is repeated in chapter 3 also. I am surprised. Scripture is so clear that when it comes to what is the root of the sin problem, it is rejecting God. Yes, of course, we have the inherent sin in us. But there is a way, and that is to look at God and know that there is a God and acknowledge Him. Who in this world can look at this universe and say, unless you are wise in ourselves, oh, this came by chance. In simply put, the creation theory of universe happening from itself, I think I mentioned this here once, I think it's laughable. It's so laughable that I cannot comprehend how wise, so smart scientists can say, oh, there was wind and there was dust. And wind and dust collided. And there was all this magnificent creation of tens of trillions and trillions of stars and billions of galaxies just came out of it. How foolish that can be. How it can be so controlled precisely. Since the history of the world, there has not been a slip in the movement of the earth. Or how He has so precisely 23 degrees in an angle, so we have seasons. Isn't that wonderful? How wonderful the creation is. So looking at the creation itself, we can say, there is God. Nobody can say that. Some time ago, I spoke at a small group meeting from Psalm 139 and mentioned the human body. I didn't have time to go through all of that. But, you know, the amazing engine we have in our body, you know, 60,000 miles of plumbing. That is how much it is there. On an average body, 60,000 miles of veins and arteries and capillaries. And it's amazingly that they can connect together, you know, two pump main lines, arteries and veins, and they come together. One pumps through the other one side and one pumps through the other side, and oxygen is directed and oxygen, you know, not so oxygenated blood is pumped back into the heart. Isn't that such a magnificent system? I mean, imagine that. Or think about the brain. Nobody can create this brain. Think about that. I am not even thinking of. I was not even thinking of saying about what I am saying right now, but my mind got it from somewhere else, from the past. Isn't that amazing? See, it is amazing. It is amazing that we can comprehend things. We can know people by the look on their face, the tone of their voice. Amazing creation. Amazing creation cannot be denied. Look at a flower, a petal. You look at anything. I mentioned this, maybe I'll take this up one day in detail. But you know, if you look at a cell, there are about 100 trillion atoms in it. Believe me, average body has 40 to 50 trillion cells. Isn't that? How can this be? What a magic creation. So look at this world, we will see there is a God. Then look at yourselves and know that self-righteousness, chapter 2, is not what we need to rely on, right? Look at God. So in verse 12 through 38, the religious person is arguing that God judged the Gentiles who suppress the revelation they have received, and Jews are a religious people of God, and they shall not be suppressed, punished. But 2:12 through 3:8 is for Jews, specifically for Jews. And 2:1 through 7, almost 8, is for the religious, or the moralist, or the self-righteous. It was for two-year-old chase-minded people who says, I didn't do anything wrong. They are doing wrong things. I am righteous than him. I do not judge. You know, I wear better clothes. I have better understanding. I give tithes. Judgments. Moralist is judging there. So in those chapter, anywhere you will see Jews, we can probably substitute Christian and read it that way, and we will get a better understanding, because this was written per se for the moralist of those times. And God, Lord Jesus, chapter 23 of Matthew, said 7 times, you hypocrites. He called the Jews who knew God and were sacrificing, but they didn't really know, because chapter 3 tells us they did not really do the circumcision of their heart, was not their only external. Chapter 2, actually, end of it. So, moving along, the Jews lived dishonoring God. They also took very much pride in who they are, with the sign they had. And that is what most of the Christianity is doing. They have some rituals they go through. They go to mass and so forth. So the rituals they follow. You know why he was addressing the Jews so harshly, emphatically? They have reasons to believe they belong to God. Of course they do. Deuteronomy chapter 4 tells us, you know, and I kind of mentioned it this morning, you are precious people for me, and we are the children of Abraham. And actually Jews used that against our Lord in John chapter 8, you know, in kind of giving him a little insult. But we are the children of Abraham. So God had promised to Abraham that we will be his children. So they, and then chapter 7, I think we read Deuteronomy, that, you know, you are a special people. I didn't choose you because you are special people, but I had grace upon you, and I happened to pick you up, and you are my people. And Moses tells them, there are no greater people in this whole world than you. So they knew all that truth. And the whole world was pagan, and they were God's people. How can God's people be wrong? Maybe that question we should ask ourselves. How can God's people, thinking, you know, in my years of life, I have come to see and know that even in our own assemblies, we have some systems that we sometimes may want to have a second look. May not be much in this particular chapel, but throughout this world, people are going through brandings because of that or because of this. Mainly one of the curses, and I boldly am going to say this from standing here about that bad habit, is that, you know, wearing ornaments is such a big do in Central Tramcore, which has no biblical foundation anyway. And we insist on that. We'll not baptize people. So we have problems of our traditions that we have brought into our own system. It is unknown to the Andhra generations, but it is very well a problem. It is still practiced. We who are enlightened, we better need to speak up about that. I'm very much bothered about it. Whenever I go, sometimes I go to only once in a blue moon we go to India, but when we go, I get the look, or she gets the look. And one time she said, I'm tired of it, I'm going to take it off. I said, no, we will stand boldly about that. So we bring unfounded, unbiblical things into the church. Not that we should indulge ourselves in and get ourselves attraction. That's not the ornamentation, or First Peter is, or Timothy is not writing those things in Titus, Timothy, and First Peter is not writing it because you should indulge ourselves in ornamentation or good clothing or greater clothing or not. But he said, your mind should control you in relationship to your Lord, how much one must abide to the call that he or she has received in obedience to the word of God. And based on the scripture, we need to obey every one of them. And we talked extensively about the patterns. So we have two more slides. Going to the chapter 3, verse 9. Keep going, please. Okay, we don't need to go through this. We'll go through this slides later. Keep going. Come to the write-up, right? One more. Okay. That's it? Whoops. I don't have that. I will share it with you sometime next week. That is from chapter 3. I got this from a commentary, but it is such an amazing nutshell of verses 9 through 23 of chapter 3. The case, all men are under sin. First case. Then he is concluding. Then he is saying the case against the sinful nature, 10 through 12. And then verses 13 through 14, the case against sinful tongue. So he is concluding, but he is coming back and saying, you have a problem. You are altogether sinful. Your mind is sinful. Your tongue is sinful. Your actions are sinful. Then how do you claim that you are a child of God? Or he's establishing you need God. And that's where you are going. And then verses 15 to 18 of chapter 3, the case against sinful acts. Misery, oppressive, restless, disturbing, warning, godless, irreverent. Disrespectful. Disrespect is a sin. I didn't know that. So, it is. It is. The case against the law, which is the last part, verses 19 through 20, towards Jews, he's saying, all are under the law. It speaks for all those who are under the law. It speaks about the boasting about the law. It makes all the world accountable, guilty, because law is for everyone to come to the awareness of sin, not for salvation. It shows in verse 21 that all humanity is sinful. That's where we are. So chapter 1 through chapter 3 verses 20 tells us, chapter 1 verse 18 through 20 tells us about the need of man. Establish the case. Like I said before, he's arguing a case. He's saying it's like in a courtroom. He is also the one who is arguing, and he is the one asking the question. Like I said the other day, shall we keep on sinning? He says, never. May it not ever be. So he's being the prosecutor and also the one on the other side. So next week, I have a bigger task. And chapter 4 through 11 is what I have in mind. So you can imagine how hard that is going to be. But we'll run through that. All my intention is to give you a taste of what Romans looks like, which all of you know. But to take it up on a deeper study, it will be nice if you all read it. I have listened and read several times, and every time I read and listen or look it up, it enriches my mind. And I have read, I don't know who it was it Augustine or somebody else who used to have it read to him every week. So one of the greatest books on the theology, Christian theology, is Romans. We shall not overlook that. And may the Lord enlighten our hearts to thank you, brother. One of the brothers actually came and told me, you know, because you started this, I started reading and studying Romans. So if that, at least it encouraged one person, that's wonderful. So may that be a hopeful wish I could have for all of us, that, and also one day take it up. It is not one man's task. It should be spread out into different responsibilities. Shall we close in prayer? Gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for who you are and what you have done for us. We exalt and magnify your name. We give you thanks for that wonderful, amazing, inexplicable love demonstrated on the cross of Calvary, that the Lord of this universe would come into this world, live like a man unknown, persecuted, and die on the cross for our sins. And as we look through the book of Romans, this demonstrated love on the cross of Calvary, may it enlighten our hearts even in a deeper level and in a more meaningful way, that we would be grateful, obedient, and loving of you. Send us with your love and protection. Watch over us. Pray for the Simons and at the marriage coming up this week, that they may, as a couple, demonstrate your love wherever they are appointed to be ministering. May they have a wonderful family life. Pray for all others who are in need and sick, especially remember Finney. Commit him into your hands. And we have many others who are undergoing very difficult times, Father. Commit each one of them into your hands. Send us with your love also, Father, and guard over us with your angels. Watch us and keep us under your everlasting wings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.